Well, you could approach it as you enter Battery Lane from Woodmont. It's tight and it's one tree, then sidewalk. As you move to the west along Battery Lane, it goes to two trees per sidewalk, etc. One on either side.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we've gone from a commercial street type to a, let's call it a residential street type.
There's some type of transition east to west.
Yeah.
And the other thing we've been trying to do, that's why we have three architects, the organic neighborhood and how we don't want it all to be cookie cutter, so we do want to have those moments and mix it up a little bit. But, so.
We started to try and play to what you're speaking to here. As you noticed, we have the urban brick sidewalks towards the Woodmont area. As we walked down the street, by the time we got to Building E, we had a lawn panel that's separated from the curb and a concrete sidewalk. Again, keeping within the Bethesda guidelines for what the materials need to be, but I think what you're saying is we kind of need to pull that transition a little bit more east, if I'm hearing you right.
Mm-hmm. All your sections always have one tree separating the sidewalk from the cars. Mm-hmm.
Although we do have a lawn panel and a front yard
right.
in front of the
Whereas
building.
Here on this particular one, on 18-1, mm-hmm. you then go to the two-tree strategy. So as you enter, it's a one-tree strategy, then you go to a two-tree strategy, and you take that pretty much all the way. I don't know if that registers in terms of the plan as much as it does in terms of the street section.
Okay, so we should emphasize that to show
emphasize
how
that because I think
exactly.
I think there is a philosophy there that makes sense. That said, your tree that's within the front yard, if you will, of your building seems very close to your building.
Yep.
So what Paul is saying is maybe give that an extra 5 feet or something in order so that the tree can mature.
But what really is wrong with the street today is that it's too wide, too undefined.
Yeah.
And so before you get carried away by not creating a street line that's discernible and understandable as far as the comfort of pedestrian, we've all learned from an urban design standpoint that having that street wall relatively close to where the walking is occurring mm-hmm. is a comfort factor, particularly in a residential area. By the way, I want to point out that we're so often faced with the need for retail continuous along our major arteries in most of our urban areas today. It's refreshing to think about a district that is primarily residential. And when I think of primarily residential, I do think of a canopy situation that is extremely strong. Another thing that is noticeable today is that you've got a few trees plugged along here and there, and you're very uncomfortable if you're walking down the street. You sort of want to speed up till you get to the next shade tree. And so I think that whatever happens in this entire district, the idea of a significant tree canopy,
yep.
not just trees. I think that the surface, I think this is a situation where broad expanses of hardscape are not necessarily appropriate because the number of people and the speed with which they're moving through this is a more casual experience. So I think the sidewalks can actually be narrower and the green spaces can be enhanced or larger. Saying that, one of the things that I haven't heard very much discussion about the park, and frankly, that's a very, very unique amenity that this neighborhood has. It's too bad that it's buffered on both sides by existing buildings that are not going to go away, because that would give you collectively so much more opportunity to engage that park in a positive way. I'm not sure what to say about that. Other than it is obviously an existing condition. Another thing that in a multi-block pedestrian experience, one of the things that I've always tried to keep in mind is that they're, instead of trying to make the entire distance exciting and interesting, developing a sequence of nodes that you become objectives in your passage down that experience, so that there are special places that happen every 200 to 300 feet usually in an urban environment, and in between can be more defining that urban edge, and then all of it explodes into something that's kind of fun, and then you go to the next one. I see some of that happening at this point. I think B and C probably give you the most opportunity to begin to create that sort of thing. I'm not sure where the drop-off is at this point is the best node experience. So I think just, I wish I could say do this. I'm not going to say do this. But I think that sequence of events is always something that can be very positive. I just want to compliment you on the fact that the way you presented today with the existing condition and the proposed conditions makes it very clear to understand not only the context, but the significance of the new construction and how that's going to work. I should probably shut up at this point. I think the idea that this should be more than a residential, a garden district would be a very good guideline. I think of New Orleans and the garden district where it differentiates itself well from the more urban components of the city. I think you've got an opportunity here to do that.
I think the pecan I designed is
about this property that a lot of people don't pay attention to, but a large percent of Alden's residents work at NIH. There's a pedestrian gate directly into NIH on the backside. So that's not just a trolley connection, that's actually a commuter connection for a large number of these residents that actually go north-south. They go to the south to get to the central district of Bethesda, to the retail areas, and they go north to go to work.
I'll back that up. I live in this area, I use that trail fairly often, and there's a good mix of people walking to work, commuting to work to the metro station, parents with kids because of the Bethesda Battery Lane Park there, you know, using that with their kids, and also exercise, people jogging and cycling back there. There's a good mix. Yeah.
To that end, are there opportunities for some of that neighborhood retail that might help reinforce that spine as you move from the center all the way up to NIH?
So we've included a small amount because primarily with the trail and park to the south, somewhere along that connection and with the plazas that we're spoken about between the two buildings on D, there's a great opportunity there.
Yeah, I think
that's where I think, I don't know what the number is, we included more of an ancillary amount. But whether it's a coffee shop, bike repair, something like that, that's open to the neighborhood versus just the building.
On drawing 18-4, when you show the proposed Battery Lane road section for D over to the park, I would not show the park with the sidewalk right up against the street. I would put that the double row of trees, etc., and show that you want the sidewalk protected from the street.
Swing as into part, the park.
You know, as opposed to leaving the sidewalk out for it. Mm-hmm. In other words, I think you have to have this vision about what that street is like, and every time you draw a street section, it's got to be consistent all along, even though you don't have control of the property. In other words,
should show the other properties and who's doing what is
how they're going to fit in. And in other words, you're doing some work for them as well as for the county, because the park is part. But so I think that's a real mistake in terms of not showing the real street section properly on the proposed.
So if I may, as a Bury County Park staff, first of all, thank you so much for making a comment about the park. We really appreciate that, you know, that value the park. So some of the observations you share is, I think I can concur about the shared characteristics of a Battery Lane, and also when we observe the behavior of this kind of park space or open space, if it
about that parcel D?
You're E, I think she's talking about.
Like, for example, these in between, I know, you know, some of them are caused by also your lighting requirements, you need a light with the building and such. So it needs to be really, you know, thought through with that kind of and setback decision built in mind with this aspect as well. But like, you know, these, you know, separated C's also somewhat kind of hidden. It could be a little more open toward the street. And also the civic space on D, I'm kind of like wondering, is could be better off if it's a little more contiguous with the Barry Lane. So let's say if you want to have some kind of block party, you know, one side is more like a festival space, the other side, the Barry Lane is designated more of a recreational. So, you know, having those kind of, you know, adjacent relationship could potentially bring a little more symbiotic, bigger success for the open space.
Yeah,
again, you're talking about part of D?
Yeah, D, the middle space with the
Well,
pizza.
Right. I think there's a couple of big moves here
yeah.
that I'm not seeing, and I would love to see. And again, getting to a drawing of the urban design of this whole thing would be great to
right.
see. But, you know, clearly in the presentation, we sort of got the idea for each building site. This building site is doing this or that. But I didn't see how, you know, this building site maybe is important for the entire site and how that can influence it. So going to that comment, going to the comment about that connection there and how important it is. And also in my mind, looking at how you all are trying to, you know, give essentially setbacks and, you know, and breaking up the massing of your building. I'm not as interested, in my opinion, I'm not necessarily as interested in really trying to lower your entire building as how you are relating to the neighbors. So if you're, you know, stepping back like we like to do, you know, coming down to the single family neighborhood, for instance, and so on, I would still suggest you try to get your maximum height.
Right.
And fill up your maximum amount of volume that you can get, because then I believe we can get some more amenity out of it. And one of those amenities would be, if this is so important, and I believe it is, and particularly when you have this park here, why can't we start thinking about this site? And also, my opinion again, that is a nice public space for that building. That will never be a public space for the entire community, in my opinion, again, because it's set back from the street. So going to the point of having something on Battery Lane, why couldn't this whole development be brought back? The development occurs essentially on that side, and you can have different heights and so on, and you expand the experience of that park, and that park becomes as a gesture to the entire neighborhood, that becomes something really important to the overall neighborhood. And the buildings then, rather than having your buildings facing this way and facing that way, your buildings can face that way onto the park. This becomes that pedestrian experience. You know, maybe if you have a little bit of retail, you know, up in this area, you know, I think you mentioned a coffee shop or something. This whole mass pushing back that way. Essentially pushing all this, instead of this edge being here, you know, maybe this edge is more like there, so that this park becomes wider. It becomes more of a very public, you know, it becomes a park rather than a trail. Because even in your drawings, I think it shows just as a trail, basically. And maybe it becomes more of a park that then links to that park, that then, you know, eventually links even more, because I think there's a drawing that shows potentially that being a park someday. There becomes a real strong link in a linear park, if you will, going this way. This building can still have the amount of density that they're looking for, filling out the envelope essentially, but bringing it back
got the link across here.
Yeah.
I'm curious why you chose to have townhouses as the front of the Parsons D. And that's what you mentioned, right? You've got a podium,
no, lower,
townhouses.
Lower stories, yes.
I mean, the reason I say that is you've got a great park across the street. I mean, normally one would think you'd want to put eyes on the park, and that's where you're, you know, you would have something significant. I really am intrigued with what Paul just talked about.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a very interesting idea. But the towns always confuse me.
Yeah, so we're balancing two things here.
Yeah.
One is we're here in this venue talking about urban design. But when you read the master plan, the primary public benefit is affordability. So this plan is designed to provide the greatest range of construction types and building types so that there is a chance to build an affordable construction type to have the competitive affordable rents. So that's what we're trying to balance here and why you see some of your standard stick built, like the building in front, the D, facing onto Battery Lane or E, is a more, you know, podium stick up and podium.
That's still, but they're incorporated into a denser building. They're not just townhouses.
Yeah, they're not standard.
Yeah, it's just what's facade
there's
on the two-story parking garage.
Yeah, that's
and
still a dense.
Oh,
and
that's what it is.
Okay,
it's got a low grade parking.
Yeah, it's not actually townhouses. It's two-story liner units. To give a nod to actually Whitehall, which has the townhouses in the next block, and to give that sort of residential look. But there is stick built on top of that after the step back.
Two-story townhouses basically are the liner units that
sure,
with the garage behind it. So if you didn't have them, you would just see the garage.
Unless you had them.
Yeah, I mean, we could flip that building around, but we thought in terms of the number of units that would have views of the park, that it would be better, and also sun orientation, so that, you know, something could be done inside a C shape, so that you have more units actually looking out onto the park, you know, rather than just having that flat facade.
But it's just
very
so squeezed. Yeah.
Right. And the way we see it, like Jeff mentioned, that this is a major, you know, path for people going to work. And, you know, how we see it is a connection to Battery Lane Park. And, you know, what we've talked about, and I think we still need some more work of creating moments. One is along Battery Lane. So there are, you know, moments that we can create with our different sites. And then, again, on this, we have the big park. And then here's another moment. So it's kind of opening up and creating space. And, you know, we could certainly look at, you know, incorporating maybe more on this and working with our neighbor. But that was our thought of, you know, creating these little pockets within the district along Battery Lane and along the trail. So you have big connectors, you know, big points, and then connections that are created along.
Paul, to your point, I think you were saying go all high rise.
Yeah.
Open up more land.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
if you go where you're showing 90 feet or 70 feet, whatever, on different lots, and you're allowed 120, if you could go 120, but then also tell us at the same time, you're creating, you know, you're going to be creating maybe a 1 or a 2 acre park, expansion of that trail. You know, what would you pick? I'd pick the park.
But I do understand.
That's not a park.
Yeah, I do understand.
Well,
but as long as it's, we're only talking about urban design and not overall affordability.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stay on this site because this has two high-rise towers that go above the height because of the 25% MPDs. But it also has a podium building with stick construction, which is construction types, it also allows us to do that balance of affordable rents and the more empty.
Well, could you move, yeah, I mean, we're getting into details, but, you know, could a different building be a stick building and you build all the high rise there again with the expansion of the park? I'm just trying to get to the discussion of the overall urban design first. And let's say, you know, let's discuss what big moves we can do and make it a much overall greater neighborhood, and then figure out, you know, the architecture of each lot, if you will.
But there are some critical architectural decisions that we've talked about in all this. Mm-hmm. So preserving the views of these people.
Yes.
This is
thank
a call.
And then
you guys drew several variations of this thing, which did some of that stuff. So
yeah.
we have to be cognizant that that building is going to be here.
Care about the character of the neighborhood. Go look at the neighborhood.
So,
yeah, and I'm
so
not
like,
suggesting
so maybe,
it's all a tower,
between,
but you can, yeah.
From
yeah.
the way we looked at this, thank
yeah.
you for
no,
saying this, and, you know, we've created this plaza experience, and we think, you know, we do have, you know, buildings that are on this site, but for these condo residents, they are going to get a view, you know, through here. The residents here are looking into this, you know, plaza green space that we're creating, so we are aware and trying to be, you know, to our neighbors and massing, you know, doing the massing in such a way that we take into account everything that's around us. And, you know, the way we thought about it, having the tall buildings, they relate more to the taller buildings across the NIH campus. And keeping this to the mid-rise level relates to the Battery Lane streetscape.
What's
the
density of that smaller, low-rise building on Site D, generally speaking?
It's 153 units for the
yeah.
front building.
Okay.
The
yes.
site overall has 520 units. With
so
the,
I think what
the
Paul was suggesting,
it,
if it's possible, maybe you could kind of eliminate the low-rise building on that site and reallocate it amongst all the other buildings.
Let me just walk through what we have. So high-rise construction is B and back half of D. The stick over podium, which is the more affordable construction, is D and E. And then A and C are that transition or in between where we have a podium garage, yet whether it's a light concrete or a steel, Prescient is one of the manufacturers out there, that's that in between range. So, and that gives us a broad range. Okay, we have high rise concrete, you know, construction expensive. And then also we have the stick over podium. So that's the mix and balance. And we did, as Doug mentioned, we did do high rise everywhere,
mm-hmm.
which was a lot more units, but then the affordability and so forth.
No, no, and listen, I understand views and I understand setbacks and step backs and all of that. What I'm suggesting though is just a stronger urban design vision, and then you figure out where you need the step backs and setback. So I've talked about two larger urban design moves. One is, you know, what are you going to do when you get that garage? Two is, can we get more park there? I have one more that I don't know if you guys have looked at, but it just seems so logical to me that I'm ready to scream about it.
Uh-oh.
And again, it's an urban design move. But rather than the loop road as being something that's pretty important, have you guys looked at possibly making that a road? And linking it right to North, I think that's Norfolk, isn't it? You would have.
Doug's
so,
saying yes in the background, but he can give you the history.
I mean, it's 20, you know, that street is, what, 2,200
feet from Woodmont
to
Old Georgetown.
Without a break. And, I mean, if it was a street, it could even be a narrow private street with sidewalks on each side, so you get the pedestrian connection.
So
your building could face onto it. Eventually, Battery Garden Apartments is going to have a great project facing onto it. I just think
so
that
I
it would be a tremendous connection.
Facilitate that, but I know the master plan, originally there was a street that, and some of our, this site was zoned PD
yeah.
about 10 years ago, which
mm-hmm.
one of the proposals was to punch a street through,
yeah.
but then it's circled back to not punch the street through.
Just
this does facilitate that, but then it's depending on that southern neighbors, but then I think it's now technically out of the master plan. It's just a pedestrian
yes.
connection.
Yeah.
So that's
And I love pedestrian connection, but boy, a street connection.
A street, that'd be great, but again, it's in whether, this plan does set that up for that discussion when that, that southern property comes forward with, to do something.
Yeah, Gary, the master plan had a couple of different varieties of connections. They were removed from the master plan. And the only pedestrian and cyclist connection is really through the park. So that's, I don't see that changing unless you have the developments that come in on both sides. That one.
Well, that's where.
Between Battery and Rugby, but it's not in the master plan right now.
Correct, and that's where it's a pedestrian through block.
Missed opportunity.
I think sometimes we forget the size of some of these parcels. You were speaking to having mowed gnomons every 200 to 300 feet. Site D, we put a mowed mid-block of Site D on the trail, which is about 400 feet front to back, so about that 200 foot. So we have that break, which ties into the Grand Plaza. This rendering inadvertently omitted the Bosque of Trees in the middle of the plaza, which appears on the architect's portion of it.
Yeah, you're talking up here about
I mean, that is a nice, large activity area that could be programmed for multiple items. Yeah. One of the things I keep hearing the panel talk about is what I would call a pattern book for Battery. It's not necessarily things that we're going to do to help Battery, but it's something that sets the tone and tenor for moving forward. Is that something that you're suggesting should be contained within our sketch plan package?
I mean, I wouldn't probably go as far as a pattern book, but I think a really nice diagram. I mean, a number of the presentations have the pieces. I think you need to put them together.
Summarize them in.
I think it's a one-page diagram that you look at, and everything's there.
Yeah, gotcha.
And it's big move. I mean, this is sketch plan. And this is big move.
And it could have opportunity areas. In other words, connecting the on site E and the park across that parking lot could be connections to the open space on the back of E, which is right now public, but it's not really public because it's not accessible, except to go down the entire length of E to get to find it.
And I heard a couple of key words. One is diagram and one is summary on
right.
One page. Because it is frustrating right now because we're at sketch plan, preliminary plan, and a lot more details to come as we work this out. But we want to get the bones right.
I suggest you look at the urban greenway concept that's in the design guidelines as well. For the piece that's on that unit D, it gives a lot of precedent pictures. It gives some ideas of width, activity. It is very park-like. So if you want to take a look at some of those diagrams, I think it would be very helpful.
Can I ask an opinion? When I think about especially this area right here, think about the latest developments down on Lot 31 where the Capitol Crescent Trail comes up behind the buildings and then the neighborhood single-family people have gates coming out of their backyards. And so affording something like that here is, I guess, some of the beginning points is what we're talking about. But then you can get Sussex House to cooperate with that. And then that could be another minor connection there. But one thing that is compelling to me in this is that I don't like to often use analogies that maybe aren't totally applicable. But I think about the High Line in New York where you walk along those narrow ways and all of a sudden then you explode on a transition area. I think that this could be successful where we have tight, open. And maybe it needs to be a little less tight than what you're talking about, but
just a broad, so
broad, wide open thing. People tend to say, oh, well, I
don't want to go there.
I run out of stuff, what to do.
Right.
You know, kind of thing. And I know, I'm a big proponent of the fact is that Bethesda coming out of the 70s and 80s and all that created a lot of insular parks that they thought were going to be great and they weren't. and we're trying to get past all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But this is not, I don't think this is that same kind of thing there. I equate this to the northern example of the Capitol Crescent Trail as you come out of that. This is coming out of NIH, the trolley trail, and it can
I'm looking at the, you know, at the master plan, figure 219, 2.19. And, you know, that diagram, it's a diagram, clearly, but it shows that park, you know, that piece next to D wider. It shows it as kind of a dark green, and it's got width, you know, is that width an additional 20 feet or is it additional 100 feet, you know? I was suggesting 100 because I'm going for the max, but it could be more, you know. It could be, you could still get the buildings that you're talking about there, just
and what narrow. We have, regardless of the dimension right now, we are narrow, wider, and narrow. Yeah,
right. And it also shows a recommended public connection. So, you know, we can define recommend public connection a lot of different ways, but it shows it, you know, if the street I was just suggesting went through. You know, that's a public connection, and I know, you know, you're kind of showing it a little bit green on this diagram as if there's a pedestrian connection there, and that's good, but, you know, I just think it would be much, boy, you know, if you could get that connected through, that'd be amazing. I think it would be amazing for bikes, for pedestrians, for, you know,
you're
probably good. Cars,
you're,
but everybody.
You're talking about this connection.
Yes.
Yep.
Do we need a master plan amendment, Robert?
No.
I'm saying a diagram shows it. The diagram
it does. That's where, you know.
How much time do you have?
It is phase three. You got, you know, you're on the clock.
Yeah. if I could just talk about our site, which is Site D, a little bit. I really appreciate all your comments, and that, you know, I agree with most of them. Initially, when we started this project several months ago, that's exactly where we started. We felt the importance of that, you know, that diagram that you just referenced, and so we created this, you know, wide green space and tried to squeeze all the buildings over there. But then, you know, we couldn't have this driveway here, so we have to have a driveway on this side. Okay, so and then this whole space pretty much goes away. So essentially, you have a building that's basically one mass. And when we put this density, you know, the 500 units, into essentially one building within the height guidelines, what we thought, I mean, we looked at a lot of different options. It just looked like a big, massive building. And that's why we really wanted to break up this project into two separate pieces, and then even the second piece is broken up into two towers to further sort of reduce the bulk of this project. So yes, you can do a design with a wider green, you know, even with this concept, I think you can, you know, try to increase that area a little more. That's one of the reasons why it's that tight, is because we, you know, provided a step back right above the podium. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you look at adjusting things like that, it's just, you know, it's not that we don't think the green space is important, it's just trying to, you know, find the optimal.
I think for me, Site D has the most logical massing based on all the parcels because of how you step them, how you raise them, shift them. Probably you guys need to go back to think about our comments of how to incorporate green space into your massing. One comment I do have is this green space on parcel D, is that a big grade change? Why we have step terrace down to the trail? I think when we do, every time we do step terrace, we need to think about accessibility. If we are to make this a bigger park, we need to think about if this is the most appropriate design language for the park. That's one comment. And for parcel C, if a street connection is possible in master plan, I wonder if we can make the through block connection on the east pedestrian instead of have a loop. So we have one vehicular connection, one is just purely pedestrian connection.
Yeah, this proposes pedestrian.
Okay.
Right now, both of them are pedestrian connections.
Right. I'm saying we remove the vehicular.
Oh, you're saying get rid, make one 100% pedestrian and 100% if the street goes through.
Yes.
So,
it will be more pleasant pedestrian experience, if that's possible.
Probably. Yeah, and the loading and fire boat, that's all we... And I will say to your comment before, I think Doug has said this last week, we're on the start of a 10-plus year journey. We will be back. And things will evolve as we go forward, but that's... And hopefully more details as we go.
So you'll bring in each building separately as
a
site plan?
Site plan.
Right.
So right now we're proposing to do sketch plan for all five buildings.
Mm-hmm.
We're working on the traffic study right now. That traffic APFO, we would bring in four buildings with a preliminary plan we're asking for a 10-year validity period. And that would be everything except building B, which would be our last phase. And then each building would come somewhere along the lines, we'd come in with a preliminary plan for site B, with or without the garage, but then that gives us more time to investigate that. And then each plan right now would come in as a separate site plan. So right now we'd be in with site A with the site plan for that building. And obviously that comes back with those details to this committee.
Another question I'd have for this panel. I mean, in looking at all of the precedent images that you had for each building, I think there's some that are I really liked, and there's some less so. I'm not sure if this neighborhood, I understand, you want some variety. You don't want every building to look exactly the same. But also, I think you want some qualities that are similar. And so there was a suggestion about a pattern book. I think I'm not necessarily thinking that we would need a real detailed pattern book, but I wonder, I think the urban design drawing that we've been talking about, I think that's needed, that's necessary. But I wonder if there is sort of an overarching pattern book that talks to the architecture a little bit, and so that there is sort of, because you're doing so much of the architecture on this street, that there are maybe some materials, similar materials that might be used or something like that, and then each architect has their different designs, but that you're using, there's something that kind of ties it together. And maybe it ties it together in sort of an overall battery district, that there's something so that they're not all just, five absolutely completely or even more because you're breaking it up in a couple buildings and so, but all different, completely different buildings, that are so different that it gets a little crazy.
You should be aware that we're actually having design progress meetings every 2 weeks with all three firms. So it's not a question that we're all going in our own directions.
Right.
And our objective has been to try to create these cousins. We didn't want to be as close as when we said brothers and sisters.
Right.
We wanted to be that we're all in the same family.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm at. That's what I'm talking about. I wonder if there's something, if it might be helpful that you kind of come up with something.
There's sort of a base material, if you will. And then how you meet the sky material. And then you have, fun in between or something. There might be ideas about how you can coordinate without being,
dictatorial. I got to tell you, it terrifies me.
Yeah.
It smacks of form-based code and architectural guidelines, which I've dealt with a lot at Columbia Pike in Arlington. And I've spent the last several years trying to get away from the sameness aspect of a form-based code design.
Well, and that's what I was going to say, how matchy-matchy or how even like similar colors for you just take the different brick but similar colors, is that?
But to be different, just to be different,
yes,
makes no sense.
Yeah, right. But in 2019 to 2029, sensitivities may be very different. I think massing consistency might be something you want to look at, but I get very nervous about design guidelines that are so specific that it even creates cousins. I'm not saying that if they all are cousins, that might be great, but on the other hand, as an example, I'm going to say something very controversial right now. On parcel D, the urban design in me says, why isn't your high rise where your low rise is, and your low rise where your high rise is? Because I think that parcel D, being opposite the park, and sort of one of those potentially significant points along your trek down Battery Lane, something more substantial at that location, to me, would be a stronger statement. I understand that NIH and its open space is compelling, and we, you know, we faced it with when we did the flats, trying to create that relationship to the park. But you know, the high rise is where the D is, and the low rise beyond lets more people, or a lot of people, have views out into the NIH. But it's also doing something dramatic as far as the journey along Battery Lane.
You can do both.
According to
the rules, but the community apparently has had some input.
I'm not trying to create a war. I'm just putting your own design hat on.
I agree with you completely, but yeah, apparently that battle has been addressed.
I mean, I'm not sure what the view is to the southeast that is so strong, but I wasn't there, so I'm.
Did you driven along? Drive there.
That's
where we live. Drive there.
Yeah, we have.
We've driven
100 times.
Right.
Well, and I'll be just as controversial. I mean, a lot of the examples shown in here are, you know, for the upper floor is basically all glass. Is this an all glass tower neighborhood?
Don't get me started.
I mean, I'm not so sure it is.
Right.
And so that might be a type that gets a little more, you know, that's why I suggested something of somewhat of a pattern book, but you know, it again, there's pattern books that are 2 pages long, and there's pattern books that are 50 pages long.
Right.
And I'm suggesting more of a 2-page.
I would say at this stage, it's shorter versus longer is where
right.
I would.
Yeah.
Well, I think, the phasing will help with it too, because you're not designing them all at the same time. Every architect will have a chance to respond to the previous design.
Well, that's real.
I mean, we should all, as architects, be designing with the context in mind, and the context will begin to be established by the first phases and go on as you go. But that doesn't mean the sameness is the answer to good urban design.
Right.
So I've said it enough.
You don't like the cookie cutters that are there?
And there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
I don't think that all glass is really the aesthetic that we were suggesting necessarily. That one thing with the sort of the economic, socioeconomic goals of this project, it's we're not going to be able to really afford all glass buildings.
Right.
And we talked more about, you know, brick being a sort of a signature material.
At the same time, as the units get smaller these days, the larger windows are better from an internal standpoint.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all that stuff has to be taken. That's why, as George, you say, the freedom to create stuff that relates not only to the urban design, but to the building program as well as the business. And I think that'll create the diversity.
But I would like to echo what Paul mentioned. I think you can have as much density as possible. So I would not shy away from density and height, unless your building technologies dictate, you know, how you're building particular buildings. That might be controversial.
Well, and that's what
I'm big on maximizing the density in an area that obviously can take it. And you've got a lot of open space around. And so it's very, and the streets are wide. You have lots of light and air. So it seems to me that maximizing, you know, the build out.
But would you still say that if it meant reducing the overall amount of MPDUs that the project's providing? Because it sounds like that's
no
consideration.
I would definitely not.
Well, and that's why I think the unit count, I mean, I don't think we even use unit counts anymore, basically, in our determination determination, it's basically the square footage per FAR and.
For traffic, traffic for residential is based on unit count, but that's.
And we divide by what, 1250 to determine units, number of units?
I mean, so for traffic, they tell us how many units, and so they model a certain number of units, and that's what we go with. I mean, for planning purposes, you know, 1,000 or 1250 for estimation, but I mean, they will be approved for an overall amount of square footage for the sketch plan, and then the preliminary plan will include the number of dwelling units and then the retail square footage.
Are there any other comments right now from the panel? We could see, would you like to take comments from the public now? We have four folks signed up. So I think Michael was going to go first, and then Holly Clemens, and Kevin Nealon, and then Ellen Witt had some questions.
Thanks, Laura. Hi, thanks for taking the community comments this morning. My name is Michael Feschko. I live in the Black Hill Condominium, and I've been a member or a resident of Battery Lane for about 20 years, both as a Alden tenant and as a owner. I want to comment on a couple items on the sketch plan. So first is my belief that the towers on the back of D are awfully out of place in the middle of Battery Lane. And I'm going to show a rendering from Alden's own supplementary materials that show in the middle, it's figure 19, how the two towers standing here have no connection to anything along the middle of Battery Lane. Everything else that is 175 and above is massed toward the center of Bethesda, the circus tent pole version of planning that I've learned about from going to the downtown Bethesda plan. The other is, I'm looking at public spaces, and I know we've talked about this before, but I would like to reiterate that from a pedestrian's point of view, this park space and this park space are awfully hidden. This is absolutely necessary for the single family homes down on Rugby, and I would not want to change that, move it, shorten it at all. But I think that all the buildings need a little bit more park space up front and some setbacks. This, as a public open space, is definitely not public at all. I mean, unless you're coming down Woodmont, and eventually if this connection is actually made, you might use that. But if you're a pedestrian on Battery Lane, this is completely hidden. We've already touched on other public amenities. I think it would be great if some sort of retail or a community space that's in addition to the outdoor community space here, because the outdoor space is wonderful next to that trail, but either an indoor space and or a small retail. I know the idea of a coffee shop along the trolley trail in that block has been mentioned a couple of times, but it seems a very tiny suggestion compared to the overall size of this redevelopment. One thing I noticed that, to me, E has a very definite sort of Jekyll and Hyde design to it. The east side is lovely. There's lots of green space, there's a walkway, there's a courtyard, Sussex House gets a great view, but Madison and City Commons seem to me, from what I've looked at, this flat space and sort of this opening for parking and deliveries over here. So their view of the west side of E has no, it's not enhanced, it's not activated. I think that some parts of this building could be better designed so that the folks living here in the condos actually have a better view of something rather than completely flat. And the last thing I'd like to point out is now, and we talked about this before, the reason that the driveway has been moved from the east side to the west side is to accommodate this redevelopment of the green space here. But this particular single driveway for residents in both units and the high rises and, say, And I'm wondering if there's a way to alter the design both to protect some of the owners on this side of Whitehall condos from the sudden increase in traffic that's going to happen, especially with the number of units that are going to be increased. And also, this has not been noted, but there's a crosswalk here as well, and that single crosswalk, well, there's one here at the park, and there's a crosswalk here. The increase in traffic using this particular single driveway right next to that crosswalk, which is especially near where kids get picked up in the morning for school, seems like it needs to be addressed. There will be far too many cars, trucks, deliveries coming in there compared to people that are using that driveway. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Holly?
floors is your building?
Yes. So we are 120 feet, both of these setback. So we're a tower close to us, possibly 120 feet, and maybe in the next tower, a little higher if you want something. And I think your density, I see it more in B. That's really where there are no people, residents next to you. There's huge buildings across the street. It is commercial. I think that's the place where you can go higher and not destroy the garden if you're underneath.
Thank you. So Ellen, you had a few questions?
I'm Ellen Witt, and I live in front of the townhouses in Whitehall. And my big concern, unlike you guys who are, I guess, urban planning, I'm not really sure, I don't like density. So I'm totally, because I think you're at the beginning you're saying we care about the character, we care about the character. Well, that totally changes the character. I'm sorry, I understand that that's the movement towards the metros, but it totally changes the character. With density, and what my big question is, if maybe you could clarify more from somebody from all, is how is this going to affect traffic? And how is that going to change? And, you know, put those streets through that you're very interested in, forget it. You know, we see it in the morning, the traffic jams. This is only a two-lane street, and it's just going to be terrible. So my question is, how do they determine the traffic? But one other thing, the retail, I see that as increasing traffic. You want to have a market, where are they going to park? You want to have a bike repair, where are they going to park? So to me, the density and the traffic are a real concern, and it changes the whole character. Sorry, that's... And I've lived there for 30 years. My mother lived there for 40 years, 50 years. And I'm not looking forward to that kind of change.
To address the traffic question.
Yes, so could you please explain how they determine the traffic density and, you know, how that will relate to your... You know, I never heard of 6-7 cars.
So our traffic engineer has been meeting with Park and Planning. They do a scoping letter that's in progress right now, and that's what intersections get studied. And then from there, they do traffic counts and assemble a traffic report that provides all the data for the impact and the amount of traffic.
So they know your plan for density.
Correct. So that's in the works right now, and we don't...
Yes, no, with the two-lane street?
Correct. It addresses capacity, intersections, and so forth. So that report is pending. We need to have that done before we submit the sketch plan. So that's in the works. So right now we don't have answers for the specifics.
I just want to add, if you care about the character, you really need to think about the density and how that plays in.
Okay. Well, quickly to summarize the major points, it sounded like we need more of the vision of the public realm, particularly the streetscape along Battery Lane, all the way across Battery Lane, not just in front of the proposed buildings, showing exactly what the vision is, and is it going to be more of a garden character in some areas with increased setbacks and then others that build to the build-to line, and is there going to be a transition from west to east or east to west, maybe from a more urban to a more garden character. Those are things that folks would like to see from the team. Also, in terms of the width of the connection along the trolley trail, that there could be an opportunity for a wider, more visible park-like or open space connection along the trail, and looking at how the massing then relates to that wider connection, particularly look at the sector plan and design guidelines with respect to that green space. Also on site D, looking at the height and massing, where is the appropriate place for the largest height, and are there places where it should step down, or should it maximize the height as proposed? And then on site C, looking at where the loop road is, considering that there might be an opportunity perhaps for one side to be a pedestrian connection and another side to be more of a street connection, rather than having a full loop road around. So those were the major issues, and I don't know, Elza, if we think that the project would come back at sketch maybe in a few months and address those issues, or how do we want to deal with that?
I mean, I would defer to the panel, but I mean, it sounds to me like coming back with just the urban design a sketch plan review is probably necessary. It feels like the architecture, you know, to the extent that there wants to be any kind of direction, I think that probably also wants to come back before the sketch plan goes to the board.
What's the date right now? Or you don't have a date?
The application has not been accepted as complete, so it'll be 90 days. So if it's, you know, if it's late March, April, May, June, I mean, this will probably go to the board before, I think we would expect this to go to the board before the August recess.
Okay.
So
we might want to return in May for maybe a shorter review, looking at those diagrams. What does the panel think about this? Or do you think that you don't need to see it again in sketch plan?
Okay, I think that, so this wants to be, given the way this is structured, the sketch plan is going to be sort of the governing document for all of the phases. And so the big picture, the boundary moves in terms of urban design want to be not 100% fixed. They can be, you know, changed a little bit as projects come along, but I think the standard wants to be set with the sketch plan. So I think at the very least, the urban design diagram needs to be set.
Because if they didn't come back before us, the next time we would see them would be piecemeal at site plan.
Well, site plan would be later.
That's what I'm saying. If they don't come back before us, before they go to the planning board.
You would see, the next time you would see them after the sketch plan would be for the first site plan. But I mean, but at the staff level, we're not taking it to the board without a great urban design diagram. So, I mean, we would like your input on that, but that needs to happen.
So we could add them for an hour to the May agenda if the panel would like, or?
In addition, being greedy, if for instance, parcel D might have gotten anything out of our discussion today that would be worth discussing,
mm-hmm.
that would be a good time to do that.
Parcel D?
I think. I'm not asking for it, but if, I think it was enough discussion to warrant perhaps a little bit more detailed discussion on parcel D, and if there are options that might be acceptable to all parties that might improve a couple of things we talked about today, that would be a great time to talk about that. The others are a little bit more predictable in terms of their ultimate outcome. D is kind of that critical link.
But
Rod, in his letter, he was very outspoken about parcel B in terms of the symmetry as opposed to its corner emphasis, etc.
But that will probably evolve.
But that will evolve.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and again, that becomes part of the urban design diagram.
Apropos what I was talking about in terms of pinching and then opening up into a nicer landscape, etc. Obviously, parcel B is an important element of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that has to be part of the urban design, you know, approach.
Well, and I'll also say that, you know, if you all decided that you didn't need to see this at all anymore, the comments that you provided here today, the record of the comments would be part of the sketch plan approval. So all of the design issues that were raised here today
mm-hmm.
are automatically in the sort of things to think about when each of these projects come in, part of the resolution. So your comments today will already be in the record. If you wanted to come back and revisit those for a particular site at sketch plan, you could do that, but the comments you've already made are on the record.
I'd also hope that this discussion was helpful, and hopefully if we were to have another discussion, it would be helpful.
Right.
Rather than
that's the general intent.
So since we're asking if it would be helpful, we'll ask the applicant team, would it be helpful to come back with those overarching diagrams and then the clarified massing on site D? Would it help to get more input from the panel and not just staff?
Have you guys done a I'm sure you probably have. I don't recall if I saw it in the package, but an overall 3D model of all of this, like, you know, even just look, I mean, you did it in the computer model of looking down Battery Lane, but it would be interesting
to
see.
That glass box is in that package.
In that drawing there.
Yeah, the one that was.
Yeah.
So, to answer
we're on track to submit, you know, do the intake with the sketch plan and so forth. So we're still full steam ahead. We come back in May, and that all runs parallel. Is that the big picture? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, because all of this sort
versus waiting and so forth, but as we...
I mean, the sort of number, the quantitative piece of it can move forward. I think it's really, you know, the qualitative can...
And
have a little more time.
And we'll be working on vision board. If that's submitted before the, you know, next committee meeting, that's just a timing thing, and then we'll bring forward that vision board to that meeting to have that discussion. Okay.
Great. Okay, so there were just two other procedural items we have. The first is to get the panel's input on whether or not you think the project will meet the minimum 10 points, public benefit points for exceptional design, or if there are any red flags just to reach that 10. They've asked for 30, but we just need to know if they can meet the 10.
Wouldn't we wait till the next time we meet? If they're coming back, wouldn't we wait before we make the vote? Or would you want us to throw it down?
I don't think it's necessary.
You like to wait then until the
next? Yeah, I would wait.
Okay, great.
There's no reason.
Because you don't want to prejudice. Because I don't think warrants 30 at this particular juncture. And so therefore, we just say 10, it might, you know, clear the deal, et cetera.
Do you need 30 points?
Actually, we said 30 because we knew you had never seen a neighborhood before, and we had such a big impact.
Uh-huh.
So we just put 30
because
we knew you would have a big discussion about it. So we weren't going to choose any other number at this point.
But do you need 30?
You don't need
30. Yeah, you don't need 32.
Probably not.
No, with the affordable component,
the
box is checked with all the other points.
You do need 10.
Right.
Well, we do, yes. We
do need 10, but you don't need any more than 10.
And the only reason I'm asking is because this panel has set a pretty high bar for 30, and I think this is a major project, as Elsa was pointing out.
But it's got...
But there will be a lot of discussion on it for 30.
Yeah, we understand that, but... We only put 30 because you've never seen anything of this scale before.
Well, in context of the neighborhood is where we're
bigger is better.
And also, because this is a sort of multi-phase, at sketch plan you're only approving the category, so you won't be doing actual points until each site plan comes in.
Right.
Yeah, so it would be, as long as they're comfortable with 10, that's all right.
All right, so we won't do a straw vote today because they'll be coming back. So unless there are any other comments, we could go ahead and conclude. Are there any other comments? No? Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.